Let's turn now in the Word of God to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, and we'll take our text in verse 9. Matthew chapter 5, we could read from the beginning of the chapter just to put the words in context. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And especially these words, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now we all know that we inhabit a world full of conflict, and the making of peace is a sadly rare thing in our society. We're seeing at the moment the bitterness of war in this tragic flow of migrants which are coming into southern Europe, fleeing mostly from the war zones, either the war zone in Syria or the war zone in Eritrea. And this tragic situation of war in a country leading to refugees, leading to unspeakable human suffering as these people seek a new home and sadly are confronted with hostility wherever they go, and the apparent impossibility of resolving such a messy and a difficult situation. This is a world full of war, and it continues to be so year after year and generation after generation. But the Lord's people are called on to be different. To be different from our society, to be different from the world around us. And indeed we are told in this passage that we are different. Blessed are the peacemakers. And that indicates therefore that the blessed people, the true Christians, are peacemakers. And let us ask ourselves that question. What does that mean to be a peacemaker? And can we measure ourselves and see whether we, ourselves, in our own life and our own conduct, are those who can truly be described as peacemakers? That then is our theme for today. The true Christian is a peacemaker. And again, it follows quite logically from all that we've said before. You'll remember as we've been going through these Beatitudes, how we see them following on the one quite naturally from the other. First of all, opening up that sense of need which marks the Christian. His inward sense of need. He is poor in spirit. He mourns. He expresses it outwardly in his meekness, verse 5. Then the specific need that he has, verse 6. He hungers and thirsts after righteousness. And now coming on to put it into practice, mercy in his outward conduct. Purity in his own heart, in his own motives and desires, and the effect of his life now. He is a peacemaker. That's the kind of life that he leads, to make peace. You see how it follows the one from the other, describing for us, building up this picture of what the true Christian looks like. So therefore, we need to see, how does this make us different from the world that is around us? First of all then, the world is in conflict. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And this is not a world of peacemakers. Rather, it is a world of peace breaking, where peace is a fragile thing and is easily shattered and broken. You see, this is a world that chooses conflict. Right from the beginning, our first parents, Adam and Eve, chose not to obey the law of God. They chose to break it. They chose to set themselves against God and followed the temptation of the evil one who said to them, ye shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil. And so they rebelled. And the human race has continued in rebellion right down to the present time. A situation of war, of conflict. The majority of human beings rebelling against God, walking in their sins. And that conflict continues for the most part and for most people. We saw it in Cain, who slew his own brother. We saw it in the world in the days of Noah, when we're told that the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. And we see it tragically in the world around us, where every kind of evil is done in opposition to God and in opposition to his law. God's law says, do this and ye shall live. And man says, no, we will not. We will do anything else. We will follow any other philosophy, any other way of life other than the law of God. And so there's a situation of war. It goes on from generation to generation. And yet it cannot be won. God is God. He is Lord of heaven and earth. And those who rebel against him, who fight against him, they must and will be brought into judgment before the throne of God. And if you and I wish to escape that judgment, then we must make peace with God. Seek peace while yet there is time. Blessed are the peacemakers. And so we must be different from this world around us. The world chooses conflict. Now, children, you would have noticed earlier that we were reading that story about Moses. And that's a story that illustrates very clearly for us how this world chooses conflict. Moses saw the Israelites fighting amongst themselves. He was trying to make peace. He was saying, no, we must unite so that we can escape from this bondage, this slavery in the land of Egypt. We mustn't be fighting against each other. And what was the response of the Israelites? To turn round and say, who made you a judge over us? What right do you have to be telling us what to do? Because of that response, because of that wicked, sinful folly that they had, the deliverance from Egypt was delayed for 40 years. Moses had to go into his long exile, and the people of Israel had to endure 40 years longer of slavery before at last the time was right, when the Lord looked in mercy upon them and touched and moved their hearts so that they were ready for the deliverance. Sadly, this world chooses conflict, and it needs the work of God in the heart to change us from that choice. The world chooses conflict, but the world loves conflict. It's not just choosing, it's delighting in conflict. And this is a really quite ugly aspect of the society in which we live. There is that delight in competition. Who can push themselves forward the most? Who can get ahead? Who can advance themselves over others? And so much of life is about that. It is about cruelty. It's about putting other people down. It's about pushing ourselves, advancing ourselves. It's self-centered, it's sinful, and it's wicked, and it spills over into every aspect of life. We see it even in the response of people, sadly, to the gospel itself. They despise it, and they despise those who bring that gospel. Blessed are the peacemakers. And when God's people come peacefully professing the gospel of Christ, what is the response of men, the men of this world? So often it is anger and hostility. Think of the words of the Lord Jesus. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now you might be inclined to say, well, surely there's a contradiction. Here's Jesus in one place saying, blessed are the peacemakers. And then another place he's saying, I came not to send peace on the earth. But don't you see where this conflict is coming from that's being described? It's not that God's people caused conflict. It's not that we are so aggressive or so violent that we create the wars and the conflict. No, it is rather the hatred and the hostility of man against God. The father is set against the son, the daughter against the mother. Not because God's people delight in conflict, but because the people of this world love conflict and despise the law of God. And how many times have we as Christians found that God's law leads to hatred and leads to opposition? Indeed, we can say that this world is not even at peace with themselves. We see in Syria, for example, a brutal civil war. You've got essentially four different varieties of Muslim, and they are all fighting against one another in this brutal, ongoing conflict with no sight of an end in sight. The Russians fighting the Ukrainians in Eastern Europe, that conflict ongoing, the Ethiopians fighting the Eritreans, a conflict going on, battle and war continuing from generation to generation. It is something evil, it is something wicked, and yet who can deny it's the universal tendency of human beings? Says the proverb, Proverbs 17:19, "He loveth transgression that loveth strife." And sadly, that describes human beings. They love strife, they love conflict, because they love transgression, because they love sin. And the root of all conflict, the root of all war, is sin. We see it, the sin, for example, of pride. And how much of war is just about pride? National pride, ethnic pride, personal pride. And Napoleon decides that he wants to conquer a vast empire, and so multitudes are slain. Ethnic Russians decide that they are being put upon in a certain part of Ukraine, and so there is war and there is bloodshed while they assert their ethnic pride. Oh, the folly of pride. The idolatry of self, again. The idolatry of man, the worship of man, that leads again to the folly of war. And we see it in a man like Hitler being worshipped, being glorified by his people. And therefore, for that idolatry, they are conquering an empire. We see it in covetousness, don't we? The desire for what other people have. The Palestinians look upon the Israelis in possession of the land, and they are covetous. They desire to possess. And so there is conflict. Conflict, of course, on both sides. Sin, fault on both sides, as there always is in human warfare. Greed, the greed of the heart of man that desires to possess more. And then there is simply hatred. The hatred of the human heart against other people. This world loves conflict because it loves sin and it delights itself in sin. And so the result of all that is the world remains in conflict. The conflict began in the Garden of Eden and we see it carrying on today. Just like the Lord Jesus says, there will be wars and rumours of war. And war is an ongoing, constant thing in the experience of human history. They tell us now in terms of statistics that there are actually far fewer wars than there used to be, and that the wars are far less bloody than they used to be going back even 30 or 40 years. That the world is actually comparatively a good deal more peaceful than it used to be. But oh, if you go to Syria, if you go to Yemen, which is in the middle of a civil war, if you go to Afghanistan, if you go to Libya, if you go and speak to the mothers who are grieving for sons lost in the fighting in Ukraine, there you will see that war continues, and that war continues to wreak damage and to create heartache and to kill men and women. The tragedy of war, and the worst part of it is that all of these human wars, they're just an illustration. Just an overflowing of that greater war, the human war against God, which starts right from the Garden of Eden onwards. The proverb says, chapter 17, verse 14, "The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with." Once war begins, how hard it is to bring peace. And once this war has continued so long, how can there be peace between God and man? And don't you see how that brings us to the gospel? And humans, we can say, well, there is no solution that we can achieve to make peace between God and men, but God has provided a solution in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the answer to that great war, the war with God, and it's the answer to every other human war. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is peace, and there is the prospect of peace, and the prospect of everlasting peace. And this is why you and I need to hear the gospel of peace. Christ is the great peacemaker, the great mediator, and he's the one who offers his peace to you and me. Oh, if we will hear, if we will come to Christ and receive the peace that he brings, that is the path to everlasting peace. So we see then, firstly, the world is in conflict. But let's come secondly to see the true Christian is a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The Christian is a peacemaker, but he's a peacemaker for a reason. It's not a natural quality that we're describing here. We have to keep emphasizing that as we go through these Beatitudes. We're not talking about people who are naturally maybe timid or quiet or gentle by nature. No, that's not good enough. That's not enough. We're talking about a spiritual change. These are the people who are being described, who have been converted, whose hearts the Lord has touched, who have been changed in their character by the power of the Spirit of God. You see, the Christian needed peace. And this is the beginning of peacemaking, that we ourselves have found peace, that we have been granted peace from God. We wish to make peace as Christians because the Lord has given us peace with himself. That's the foundation for all our peacemaking. We've experienced it ourselves. We found, as the Apostle Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You see how the word of reconciliation, the gospel of peace, that follows because we ourselves have been reconciled. God has made peace with us, and so therefore we have a message to others, a message of peace, and a mission to make peace. We have the peace that comes from God himself. It's the peace that Christ has achieved. He died. He perished on the cross of Calvary, dying to forge that peace, to make a peace with God, to answer the charges that were laid against us, to perish in our place, to shed his blood so that our blood need not be shed. As the word says, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, one true peacemaker. And he's the one who's made that peace which we enjoy today if we are God's people. A perfect and a lasting peace. And all true experience of Christian peace, it flows from that work of God. Firstly, the work of Christ laying that great foundation in his own blood. And then the Spirit of God building upon it, generation after generation, converting people, changing them, so that they embrace Christ as Saviour. And if we are the people of God, we have experienced that. The Spirit of God's coming into our heart and drawing us unto God, bringing us to Christ and enabling us to trust in Christ as Lord and as Saviour. And from that experience, there flows the joyous experience of peace. The Lord Jesus says something interesting in Mark 9 verse 50. He says, salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with the other. This image, this picture of saltiness, That is, of course, referring to the work of the Spirit in the soul, that change, that difference that the Spirit makes. And we see that that is expressed in peace, making peace with others. We have needed peace, we have received peace, and therefore that peace must overflow to others as well. So the Christian needed peace, but therefore the Christian loves peace. We as Christians delight in peace. It is a precious thing to us. It is a joy, the peace that passes all understanding. And when we experience it, it is something precious indeed. To know peace with God, to know that there is no longer that conflict, to know that the Lord has visited all his anger upon Jesus Christ, to know that to us there is love, compassion, care, mercy, to know that there is no break, no damage in that relationship, but only the love of God. That is something precious. That is a privilege indeed. As the Apostle Paul says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." So as we live in peace, we experience God's presence. We experience the peace of God in our own heart and conduct. And therefore, we must love such peace. It is the experience of God himself, and we as Christians love the experience of God. As Paul says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." And if we truly profess, "Well, the Spirit of God is dwelling within me," then how much peace must flow from us? How much we must be those who hate conflict, who despise it, and who love peace. The true Christian loves peace. And therefore it follows, the Christian makes peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who actually forge peace and build peace between men. Here is something that characterizes our conduct and our walk in this world, that we are peaceful, peaceable, peacemaking. It's first and foremost, of course, a constant seeking to be at peace with God and with his word. We're not referring here to some kind of woolly compromise, some papering over of the differences, or even worse, a cowardly surrender of our principles just for the sake of a quiet life. No, if we're true Christians, we want peace with God first and foremost, and that means absolute faithfulness to the word of truth. We will not have conflict with God for any cost, and therefore we strive for peace on the basis of what Christ has given us. We seek to be obedient to God in this world, to speak forth his message, and to be faithful to the gospel that he has given. We make peace, but we make peace first and foremost with God himself. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And you see, that's the ultimate peacemaking, isn't it? When we bring the gospel message to our fellow man, and when we tell those who are still at war with God, be reconciled to God, make peace with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message of peace. And the word says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." So first and foremost, we must be about making peace in terms of the gospel itself. But above and beyond that, of course, we must strive for peace in our own contact, in all our relationships as human beings. We must be those who work for peace, who make the effort that peace will characterize all our relationships. It's like Paul describing the Christians to the Colossians, "forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." And here is a picture of the true believer. The true believer is a forgiving person. Not someone who's storing up in their mind all these resentments, all these complaints against other people. The true Christian loves peace. He loves to let an offence go. He is happy to suffer so that others will enjoy blessing. He does not seek to get his own back. He does not delight in seeing another put down. He wants peace, and he delights in peace. It is a precious thing to him, and he loves it. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's true, of course, that we're not always perfect in this respect. God's people are a flawed people in this world, and we know that ourselves. When we speak of these things, of these marks of grace, let us say that here is an aspiration. And let's examine ourselves. Not have we attained entirely to being peacemakers in every situation, in every circumstance, but let's ask ourselves, have I aspired after that? Have I longed to be more peaceable, more compassionate, more loving? Am I striving to be a more peaceable person? Here's a mark of the true believer. And the word of God says of such people, they are blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, is that you described in these words? Is that you identified in your conduct in this world? Measure yourself by this standard. Do you love peace? Do you love it when others find peace, especially peace with God? Do you delight in hearing of people converted? Do you rejoice when people are brought to know the love of God for themselves? And do you seek to bring others to know this peace? Do you bring the message of the gospel to friends, to neighbours, to colleagues as you're given opportunity? The word says, blessed are the peacemakers. And if you and I truly enjoy peace, will we not want others to share this peace also? It is that blessing. Ask yourself, are you one who truly experiences that blessing yourself? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So we've considered then the world is in conflict, the Christian is a peacemaker. Let's see thirdly, the Christian is a child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. A striking description of the Lord's people. The Christian, let's see, is made like God. This is the first part of being a child of God. It is likeness to God. We are similar to God in certain respects. We say it reverently, but nonetheless it is true. God is a peacemaker, and so his people are peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers because God is a God of peace who himself makes peace. We are being made like his character. He's the God of peace, Romans 15. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9. It's like the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So if God is a God who creates peace, then we as his people also must be peacemakers. And if we are becoming peacemakers, if we are being more and more conformed to the image of God as those who make peace in our lives, then we see how it follows quite naturally. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. They are like God in this respect. It's like the Lord Jesus says, speaking to his disciples, he wishes that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You see what he's saying? The Father has this loving, compassionate, peaceable quality. My prayer is that you will be like him, that you too will share that peaceable, compassionate quality. So if you and I are becoming peacemakers, we are becoming like God, and it follows naturally, ye shall be called the children of God. Ultimately, of course, the reason for this, the Christian has been adopted by God. It is part of our salvation that the Lord has made us part of his family, that he has chosen us for himself. It's the ultimate in peacemaking, isn't it? We go from being rebels at war with God to being brought not just into the household of God, but into his very family, made the children of God, from enemies to children. That's the process that salvation takes. It's the ultimate in peacemaking. As John says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And can we not marvel at this if we are God's people and if we have experienced God's salvation, that we are called sons and daughters of God? And so it brings us to the blessing. The Christian is recognized as God's child. You see the words that are used, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Now that calling is granting them a status. And of course there's only one who can grant that status, and that is God himself. So the verse is telling us that the peacemakers are blessed because God himself shall name them, shall recognize them as his children. He will give them that high exalted place, that status in heaven as children of God. And this is the great comfort and the great encouragement that we have, that God pronounces over the peacemaker that blessing. He is a child of God. It's like the Apostle Paul wishes to the Philippians, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We already, if we're God's people, have the status of being children of God. But we are to enjoy that status yet more, that privilege more highly, when we come to heaven itself. And they are recognized eternally as God's children. It is a position of eternal security, eternal joy, but most of all, eternal peace. Never more an argument, never more a conflict, never more danger or hostility or anger to break up that eternal relationship. Everlasting peace. That is the relationship put before us as Christians. Now, if we see that, if we see that prospect before us, don't you see then the practical urgency of this text? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Oh, if we truly are God's adopted children, must we not be peacemakers in this world? The true Christian is a peacemaker. Just as we close, let's come to some application. Firstly, let's all examine ourselves in the light of this text. Here is a mark of grace set before us. Blessed are the peacemakers. Measure yourself by it. Are you a peacemaker? Can you describe yourself in these terms? This is the true church of God. Ask yourself, am I one who needed peace? Am I one who delights in peace? Am I one who seeks to make peace for myself, but also for others too, to bring others into peace with God? Such are the people upon whom the Lord pronounces blessing. If you're one who has found that peace, then see that duty is to seek the peace of others. We are not to be those who in this world are constantly in conflict, in anger, in hostility. We are to be those who seek peace and pursue it earnestly. And oh, that peace would characterize our lives here, but oh, how much more in the world to come, that we would enjoy the peace of God without interruption for all eternity. Let that peace that is to come, that prospect, inspire you to be peaceable, to be a peacemaker here on earth. And if you're one who's still in conflict with God, then see the need that you have for reconciliation. Before you, the prospect is just of that conflict going on and on. God is not pleased with your life. God does not look upon the way that you live and approve it. Rather, his word condemns your sins. And his word holds out before you the prospect of punishment for these sins. But oh, if you will trust in Christ, oh, if you'll cast these sins on the Lord Jesus, you will find that there is salvation in him. And oh, that each one of us would come to find that reconciliation which the Lord Jesus offers. He is the great peacemaker. He is the one who fulfills this text in its highest sense. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, let every one of us seek peace, the peace that Christ brings, and let's find and know that peace in our own experience. May God be pleased to bless his word to us.